So we're continuing on with our series through Matthew, and this morning we're looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. So I believe many people today, if asked to give one word that describes Christians, would pick the word judgmental. For many, Christians are judgmental. Now, I think all of us would rather these people suggest words like loving, kind, understanding, loyal, wise, etc. But nevertheless, judgmental is the judgment often offered up. In our study of the Sermon on the Mount, we have come this morning to verses 1 to 6 of chapter 7. Now, if you're looking at that passage, only two words in, we find the command in question: judge not. Obviously, our goal this morning, as it is every Sunday morning, is to understand the meaning of each verse and how, by God's grace, we can live in light of his word. So, what did Jesus mean when he said, judge not? So to do that, let's break this passage up a bit. I think what we see here is that Jesus wants us to think about judgment in light of several factors. For example, we should consider judgment in light of judgment, verses 1 and 2. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Notice that Jesus is talking here about judgments made not in light of judgment, that is, those doing the judging are not judging in light of the fact that they themselves will be judged. That's the very reality Jesus wants them to keep in mind. He makes it clear here that the kind of judgment he has in mind will most definitely lead to judgment by God. In verse 2, Jesus gets more specific about our present judgments not made in light of God's coming judgment. First, he says, with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. What does that mean? It means whatever violations you prosecute and verdicts you render, God will do the very same in your cases, in as much as those things are also true of you. Second, he says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What's he saying here? I think it means the extent and with the severity that you find fault with others, fault will be found with you, with us, by God. Now, if neither of these points is sobering to us, if neither of those ideas causes us to stop and proceed with caution when it comes to judging other people, then we have a problem. But Jesus goes on to unpack this idea a bit more. According to verses 3 and 4, we should also consider judgment in light of pride. This is what Christ goes on to tell his disciples about judging in verse 3 and 4. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? As we've seen over and over again in this mountain message of Jesus, these questions are clearly meant to get the person who is passing judgment to think about his or her own heart. Why do you see? How can you say? Jesus wants his followers to consider what is driving such behaviour. And what is the behaviour in question? It is prideful fault-finding. The person who is prideful has no problem cataloguing and condemning the sins of others. That's only part of the equation. Such cataloguing and condemning is done with no healthy recognition of our own failures. But again, that's only part of the equation. Not only is there no recognition of one's own sins, but the prideful person is also misguided in terms of assessing the extent of sin. Jesus, with his carpentry background, chooses an effective illustration. He says, "A prideful judge, how can you make a big deal of and focus your judgment on the sawdust in someone else's eye when you are walking around with a beam in your own? Or how can you foolishly believe you're in any position to set someone straight when you yourself are way, way, way off the path?" In everyday terms, what Jesus is describing here is like when a person is judged for being late to a lunch, but judged by a person who is known by all to be epically flaky and inconsiderate. Or like when a wife is judged for spending too much on a person by a husband with a gambling addiction. Or a friend who is judged for sharing a sensitive piece of personal information by another friend who is and has been a chronic gossip. It is pride, it is arrogance that blinds us to the extent of our own faults and failures. And it is pride that gives us a false sense of self-importance when we condemn others for specific sins, especially when such sins are relatively infrequent. Sadly, there are Christians and so-called Christians who believe that being concerned about righteousness means first being concerned with the righteousness, or lack thereof, in other people. But Christ calls us to a very different path. In verses 5 and 6, we are called to consider judgment in light of humility. This is what we hear starting in verse 5. "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." It's interesting that the word hypocrite used in chapter 6 in reference to many of the Jewish leaders is used here in reference to a judgmental disciple. How is such a person a hypocrite? Because they say one thing and yet do something else. They want to point the finger at your sin, but are unwilling to do the same in regard to their own sin. But notice that the word of Jesus in Matthew 7:5 here is his word to the hypocrites is not simply a condemnation. It is more so a correction. And how does he correct these prideful, judgmental hypocrites? He calls them to humility and repentance. "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye." Jesus calls them to acknowledge the beam, the log that is their own sin. But removing that log, that plank, also means confessing that sin to God and remorsefully rejecting the sin. And all this requires humility. But if a prideful, judgmental hypocrite is truly humbled, what happens next? This is where it gets really interesting. Jesus says, "First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." So do you understand what Jesus is saying here? He's indicating that when he told his disciples to judge not, the issue is not recognising and even pointing out the speck of sawdust in the brother or sister's eye. The issue is the heart behind that judgment. It is a very different thing when a humble brother or sister points out your sin. The prideful person wants to put you down. The humble person wants to lift you up. The prideful person simply wants to condemn. The humble person wants to help. And help they can. As Jesus describes here, the person who is deeply aware of his or her own faults and failures is the kind of person who can see clearly to take the speck out of that brother's eye. Now, if we think for a minute about what all this means, in light of the context, it seems clear that Jesus, in verse 1, is not condemning all forms of judgment. No, he is condemning the condemning heart. He's condemning the kind of heart, the pride-filled heart, that produces this judgmental posture that spews out such judgmental poison. The one who sets himself or herself up as a judge over others with this kind of heart is not humbled by the reality that he or she is accountable to God. And they are not humbled by the reality that they are a log-blinded sinner. They pretend to be in a position they are not in, to have a knowledge they do not have, and hand out punishments they have no right pronouncing. This is precisely why Paul later warns the Corinthians the way he does in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Only God is in such a position. Only God has such knowledge. Only God has the right to hand out such punishments. James, in his book in chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, warns us about the same mindset. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbour? And did you notice how James refers to the law of God here? So what did the law say about this issue? In Leviticus chapter 19, verses 15 to 18, this is what we read. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbour. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbour. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbour, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. Notice there are two kinds of judging described in this passage. First, there is judging in righteousness, the kind of judging that reasons frankly with your neighbour and is an expression of loving your neighbour as yourself. But this passage also describes how you can judge your neighbour in unrighteousness, how you can have a condemning attitude that tempts you to be a slanderer. It is driven by hate in your heart. This attitude seeks to take vengeance. It tempts us to bear a grudge. You see the difference there. So when James says the one who speaks against the brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law, he is pointing out how a prideful, judgmental hypocrite is in fact rejecting passages like Leviticus 19 and therefore setting himself or herself up over God, passing judgment on his judgments. But as Jesus reminds us, in order to humble us, there is only one lawgiver and judge. Sorry, as James reminds us. In order to humble us, there is only one lawgiver and judge. Therefore, in light of all of this, I think it is safe to say that judgmentalism must be rejected. But that does not mean every form of judgment is wrong. In fact, if we go back into where we are this morning, Matthew 7, 1 to 6, we discover that Jesus, in verse 6, calls us to judge. He declares, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. And what exactly does that mean? And how is it related to what came before? Well, I believe Jesus is warning us, even when we in humility can see clearly and we desire to help a brother or sister or help anyone with a speck in their eye, it might not always be wise to do so. Inside and outside the church, there are individuals who will hear your genuinely holy help and see your pearls of loving correction, and they will despise you. Christ is calling us to make a judgment call about the kind of person who might receive and the kind of person who would certainly despise your care and concern. That discernment doesn't mean a person will always be a resentful, prideful, abusive, as Jesus alliterates to here, a dog or pig. The setting and seizing can change. Clear opposition may eventually become potential opportunity. While we might not always be able to help someone with a speck, we can and should always pray. And as we continue through Matthew's Gospel in the coming weeks, we'll hear Jesus say in Matthew 18, verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. That is fault finding, but not prideful fault finding. It is humble, loving, speck or log removal assistance. It's something all of us need. Yes, there is judgment involved, but it isn't being judgmental. The heart here is the same heart we heard about in chapter 5, verse 24. The heart that leaves the altar in order to reconcile with a brother. It's the same heart we heard about in chapter 6, verse 12. The heart that prays, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. What did Jesus mean when he said, judge not? He meant condemn not. He meant do not set yourself up as a judge over someone else. He meant do not judge with a blind eye to your own sin and your own judgment. He meant do not be a prideful fault finder. He did not mean do not judge between evil and good. He did not mean do not practice discernment. He did not mean do not talk to others about the sin. He did not mean practice judgment within the church and, if necessary, church discipline. All of these are the fruit of a humble, cautious, and caring heart. Listen to how Paul describes his same heart from Galatians 6, verse 1 to 3. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Are Christians judgmental? Like everyone, they can be. But it isn't judgmental to speak the truth in love. Unrighteous judgment demonizes and distances the one in sin. Righteous judgment is careful and caring. It is humble and helpful. It knows its lane. It honors God's sovereignty. Do you struggle with being judgmental? No, I do. Are you more likely to condemn the sins of others than confess your own? Do you find more joy in putting down than lifting up? Does justice feel safer than mercy? Does putting someone in their place feel better than drawing them into yours? If so, then we need a new heart, one humbled before God and filled with his love. Strangely, only the judge of all people can give us a heart for all people. Only when we recognise what we truly deserve from that God, the judge, and then see that judgment placed on Jesus instead of us, only then can we find that humble heart. The one who said, judge not, condemn not, was the same one who was judged and condemned for prideful judgmental hypocrites like us. Only Jesus Christ has the power to forgive and remove the speck and log of sin forever. Only he can transform us by his grace alone, through faith alone. some of us need to repent of the judgmentalism we've talked about this morning. If we're honest, we recognise ways in which we have contributed to the stereotype that most Christians are judgmental. But we also know that part of the world's response to Christians and the Word of God comes from the fact that sinners love their sin. In many cases, even when we speak the truth in love with humility, people will take offence, and therefore some will label us judgmental. We must be sure that we are not offensive. We must strive for a clear conscience in that regard. But we shouldn't be surprised when the message through us is offensive. The message of a holy God to those who prefer the darkness, the message of a righteous king to rebels like us. The bad news of sin should always come with a double dose of the good news of grace. But even still, we know many will hate God's judgment. And yet, wonderfully, others will acknowledge their sin in light of God's word and grace. As we just talked about, that grace is our only hope, isn't it? Only he can bring that change to our hearts, hearts so often prone to judgmentalism. Will we trust him this morning for that change? Let's pray in light of these things. Bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, we just give you thanks for your grace and mercy towards us. And Father, we just pray that you would give us humble hearts to be loving and caring and to show grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.